Now, for you've done normal series acting, you've done regular acting, but trying to come up with an alien mindset, you know, even if she is fairly more one of the more human aliens on the show, it's still not a human being. How do you come up with motivations? And because if you're playing an alcoholic, you can talk to alcoholics, but how do you do it?
This is why I said to our producer, Andrew Krauss, who did a lot of the directing as well, because I started to panic before I actually started filming, and I said to him, like, God, how the hell am I going to do this when the realization playing an alien actually sunk in. So how the hell am I going to do this? I'm not an alien. Oh my God. He said, Rayleigh, have you ever seen an alien on television? He said, yeah, no, really. Have you ever seen an alien on television? I said, oh, well, no, you're right. They're all human beings. He goes, exactly. Calm down. You're not an alien. No one's an alien. If an alien came to town, we probably couldn't even see him because he'd be a gas, you know? Just relax. You can only, you know, bring to your character what you have inside you and what you know yourself. If you go down that trip too, you know, I'm not an alien, how am I going to be an alien, oh my god, if you panic down that road too much, you're just going to mind screw yourself and you're never going to get any performance out whatsoever. It was basically, you know, it was soap in space.
Yeah, it does have the interconnectedness of a soap opera, a serial. That brings up another point. Very close interaction with Wayne Pygram. Obviously, you had a lot of scenes that were separate from the rest of the group, just you and him. How did you work separately on getting your scenes ready, or was it just get in there and do it?
Very often, Wayne's performance was very, well, to me, it was really quite theatrical, and there wasn't really much of a point rehearsing our stuff until we actually got on set, really. Wayne loves the stage, you know, he work with that space, so we didn't actually do any rehearsing. We would run lines, you know, out of character, just quickly run lines, offset of course, but we wouldn't really do any further development of a scene until we actually got on the set, because the sets were always so weird and wonderful. There was always something to play with, and Wayne's very much into spaciousness, I guess, and the use of space and how to portray dominance and status within a scene spatially, that kind of thing. So there was no real opportunity to play with that until we actually got on set with the cameras.
It seems like even on the low key roles, it seems pretty high energy. So.
Oh yeah. He's great, man. As soon as I clocked eyes on his character, I thought, I so want to work with you. You're extraordinary. And Scorpius, you know, he was the genius. I loved his character. I'd seen Wayne around the traps at home for years and years and years, and had wanted to work with Wayne the actor. I hadn't seen Farscape or Scorpius, of course. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, yeah, you're my boy.
Oh. Paul McGillion stopped by to say hello.
It's okay.
Dead. Paul was kind enough to talk to me yesterday briefly.
Oh, okay.
We're about done.
Lovely. Such a darling. Wow. Some times last night.
Yeah, I'll actually say there's one of my listeners who just begged me to get the interview with him because she's just head over heels for him.
Oh, good. So are we. He's just gorgeous.
I'm not going to keep it too much longer. Now, the way things ended up for Sokozu and Farscape in the Peacekeeper Wars, were you happy with how they ended the character?
No. In hindsight now, I mean, you look back at it and you go, oh, well, that was a moment in time. It was certainly out of the box and it's done. At the time, I was pretty pissed off, I've got to say. Because, like, I read the script originally and Sokozu was finally almost a part of the team and they were, you know, they were going to have her on board. They were all going to work together for the common good and fight the good fight. And then suddenly halfway through filming, they hand me the new amendments and said, oh, by the way, you're the traitor. I'm going, no! You know, the series was so ambiguous for her when I shot that first series that I did, the series 4. It was so ambiguous for her.
It did seem out of character because it made it established how could she be a double agent. It seemed wrong.
I know. Yeah. I know. I don't know. There were lots of different reasons, I guess, that we were shooting over time and the character that they wanted to set up as the traitor didn't end up being used in the miniseries and they needed another scapegoat and all happened very fast. It was a complete surprise to me. I'd been filming half of the damn show and then suddenly this amendment arrived at my door and I said, what the hell is this? I'm supposed to be a good guy now. Come on. crazy.
And
but that's basket.
And lastly, all this right here. How have you been adapting to the fandom for a cult television show?
Fans for cult, you're absolutely right. Fans for cult television, it's a completely different kettle of fish. The commitment, the staying power, unbelievable. The knowledge, the research, and at the end of the day, the love. They just love it. Yeah, we have a ball. We come over to these conventions. We do a couple at home, but they're mainly in the States. And we come over and everybody's just, you know, gorgeous. They're so happy to see you. You never have an upsetting moment with a fan, really. It's great. Yeah, so it's everybody's just been gorgeous. We've been so accepted, and it's lovely. Particularly coming from Australia, where, you know, people didn't really watch the show, didn't know too much about it, because there's just no sci-fi industry at home. So, yeah, to come over here and actually go, oh, that's right, we were on a television show, and here they all are, and they all loved it. And, yeah, it's great.
Well, I'm glad you gave us some time this morning.
That's okay. Really. Thank you, Nash. Thank you very much.
This has been Nash Time with Rayleigh Hill from Farscape, and this is Radio Dead Air.